All right, today we're jumping into a really fascinating and pretty detailed interpretation of biblical prophecy. It's one that claims to build a very specific timeline, a timeline that starts with an ancient Roman emperor and stretches all the way to the year 2040. So let's dig in and see how they build this case piece by piece.
So right at the center of all of this is one big question. Is it possible for a 2,000-year-old text to actually contain a hidden chronological map to our future? And to even begin to answer that, we have to play detective and follow the clues, starting with the one historical anchor that kicks this entire calculation off. Okay, so where do we start? Well, the whole thing kicks off not with some obscure prophecy, but with a hard, verifiable historical fact recorded in the Gospel of Luke. It all has to do with the Roman Emperor Tiberius Caesar. This is our ground zero.
And here it is. This one little line. This is the linchpin. You see, the author of Luke grounds his story in a very specific moment in secular history. And for the people who built this timeline, this is the first crucial piece of the puzzle.
Okay, so how do they get that date? Let's break it down. We know from historical records that Tiberius officially began his reign in the fall of 14 AD. Now, this timeline uses what's called a fall-to-fall calendar, which makes sense as it lined up with ancient Jewish agricultural and religious cycles. So if you count 15 of those fall-to-fall years from his start date, you land precisely in the year that runs from the fall of 20 AD to the fall of 29 AD.
All right, so now we have our first solid date, 28 to 29 AD. But, and this is important, this isn't the end of the calculation. Nope, it's actually the key that unlocks the next piece of the puzzle, because it lets us calculate backwards to find an even more important date.
Because right there, in that exact same 15th year of Tiberius, the scripture tells us something really specific: that Jesus was about 30 years of age when he was baptized. According to the source material, this isn't just some throwaway biographical detail. It's the next critical number we need for our equation.
And if you do the math, that leads us right here. If you take 29 AD as the year he turned 30, and you count back 30 years on our modern Gregorian calendar, which, and this is super important, doesn't have a year zero, you land in 2 BC as his birth year. This date becomes the absolute foundation for the rest of the timeline.
Okay, so in this model, we've got the birth year and the baptism year locked in. Now the timeline shifts to this incredibly pivotal moment, a public declaration. Not long after his baptism, Jesus is in the synagogue, and he reads from the prophet Isaiah, saying this phrase, "to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, according to this interpretation, this isn't just Jesus giving a nice sermon. No way. This is seen as a formal, almost legal proclamation.
So you might be asking, what exactly is this acceptable year of the Lord? Well, it's believed to be the Jubilee year. If you go back to the book of Leviticus, the Jubilee was this special 50th year that was supposed to happen after seven cycles of 7 years. It was basically a giant reset button for the entire nation. Debts were canceled, land was returned. It was a proclamation of liberty.
So based on the timeline laid out in the Gospels, this big announcement happens about a year after his baptism. That means if the baptism was in 29 AD, this declaration of the Jubilee would have happened in the fall of 30 AD. And that date, the fall of 30 AD, becomes the starting gun for this entire 2,000-year prophetic clock.
All right, we've got our starting point, 30 AD. But how in the world do we get from there all the way to 2040? Well, everything, and I mean everything, hinges on how you count these Jubilee cycles. This is the engine that drives the whole timeline, and there's a big debate about how it works.
Okay, so you've got two main schools of thought here. Method one argues that you have your 49 years, then you have a special, separate 50th year for the Jubilee, and then the counter resets for the next cycle. But method two, the continuous cycle, says something different. It says the 50th year, the Jubilee year itself, also counts as the first year of the next cycle. The rhythm of sevens never stops. Now, this is absolutely crucial to understand for this timeline. The prophetic model we're looking at only works if you use the continuous cycle method. The idea here is that the 7-year pattern is unbroken. The Jubilee happened, sure, but it doesn't pause the count. It's woven right into the ongoing rhythm. This interpretation is everything.
Okay, so now we have all the pieces on the board, right? We have the start date of 30 AD, and we have the counting method, the continuous 49-year cycle. So let's do the final math that supposedly takes us from ancient Judea right into our near future.
So here's the formula, step by step.
You start with the Jubilee declared in the fall of 30 AD. Then, using that continuous 49-year cycle, you just keep adding 49 over and over and over again until you land on what this model identifies as the final Jubilee. So after all that, where do we land? What's the final date? Well, if you run the numbers using this specific model, adding those 49-year cycles to that 30 AD start date, it brings you to the year 2040. In this framework, 2040 is marked as the next and final Jubilee. Okay, 2040. So what? Why is that date considered so important in this framework? Well, it's not just about the Jubilee year itself. It's actually more about the period of time that leads directly into it.
This is where the model connects the Jubilee count directly to end times prophecy, specifically the tribulation. It proposes that the last 14 years of this final 49-year cycle are actually two very distinct, prophetically significant 7-year periods that lead right up to that final Jubilee.
And if you put that on a timeline, it looks something like this. If 2040 is the endpoint, the final Jubilee, and the 14 years right before it are prophetically significant, then you just count backward. And that puts the starting line for this final window in the year 2026.
So when you boil it all down, the core claim here is pretty wild. It's that you can draw a straight mathematical line from a Roman emperor's calendar across 2,000 years of history and land in a specific time frame that we are living in right now.
Okay, let's just do a quick recap of the entire logical chain here. You start with Tiberius Caesar, which gives you the historical anchor of 2980. From there, you get a calculated birth year of 2 BC. About a year after the baptism, a Jubilee is declared in 30 AD, and that starts the clock. You run that clock on a continuous 49-year cycle, and it points to a final Jubilee in 2040, which is preceded by a 14-year period kicking off in 2026. That's the whole argument in a nutshell.
Now, it's really important to put this all in perspective. The author of this theory himself says, and I quote, "I am not declaring to you that this is the year that everything begins. I am just simply showing you that we went through scripture." So he presents it less as a hard and fast prediction and more as the result of following a very specific trail through history and scripture.
And so that's what we're left with. This is the question you have to ask yourself. Are we looking at a genuine ancient blueprint for the future, one that's been hidden in these texts all along? Or is it a really compelling but modern reinterpretation of history where all the data points have been arranged to fit a new pattern? As always, the conclusion is yours to draw.